My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. With that revelation about Matt, or should I say Prince Matt, who we'll learn more about soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are we going to have to call him Prince Matt?
I'm sure as hell not.
Well, fuck Matt.
The spark and simmering of a history is buzzing almost as loud as the bees down this right-hand path. Y'all begin to make your way down this right-hand path, and that cacophony of buzzing begins to get louder and louder. Wielding the torch in front of you, you can see like shapes coalescing into a storeroom in front of you that appears to have been at one point a weapons store. This is where Barry Brook would store shields and swords and various armaments, all pixie-sized and very ornate. But that is no longer the case, because now the entirety of the shelving and the catacombs that would have housed this stuff is now a helix of honeycomb, all filled in with nectar or like some kind of viscous fluid of some sort. And as you get a little bit closer, I think, Winnie, you're the first one to recognize what this is. You see inside the helixes of each of these are often like swords and shields and things, and what were armaments and like cubby holes for things. But also inside is a small wriggling larva of some kind of like baby bee.
Baby bee?
Baby bee. Baby bee.
You see, coming in and out of this room in particular, every now and then is like a worker bee. At your size, the bees are the size of small dogs.
Yeah.
Not to be trifled with. And the stingers are things that you are all of a sudden very aware of.
I didn't even think about that. In my head, they were still small.
Oh no.
And also really cute, because now there's a baby.
There doesn't seem to be a swarm in this room. Rather, there is a swarm in the making in this room. Off in the distance, you see another much larger room open up. You can hear just the sound of the room, like the echoing and the vibe of it. A very easily the largest room you've encountered, just beyond the next passageway.
I would like to push us through this room as quickly as possible, because at my core, there are just certain things you don't mess with, and people's kids is one of them.
That sounds fine.
Yeah.
You quickly push through the like larval room, seeing like a bunch of weapons and things all like hidden with. It's weird to see like larva also right next to like a pixie sword, just kind of like curled around it.
Battle axe with a worm squirming beneath it. Yeah.
As you move closer to this entrance, this cacophony of buzzing becomes a swarm of activity and a swarm of bees.
The worst kind.
The worst kind of swarm. The torchlight moves a little bit closer. I think Matt's glowness comes into the forefront as well. And you see...
Blueberry?
Yes,
yeah, blueberry's on Matt, right?
Blueberry's
on
Matt.
Yeah.
Matt also glowing now. Blueberry's green glow. And I assume you guys are keeping the torches lit. But please tell me otherwise.
Yeah, I think so.
And you see what was once a very large central chamber that was clearly used as like an emergency shelter or something. This is a large room meant to house all of Berrybrook. And it is filled to the brim. All along the outsides are honeycombs, and everywhere within here, bees are working and moving quickly. And you see honey is dripping from the ceilings all over the floor. This place is sticky, sticky, sticky. And the honey seems to be almost like pooling on the floor in various ways. I'm going to say, Winnie, as you're, I'm kind of imagining you at the front, can you roll a wits check?
Yeah.
For me.
This could get comical. I've been rolling well all day. Hey, that's an 8 under 9.
Good Lord.
Wait until the Rat King combat happens.
Yeah. Nothing.
Just wait for it. Y'all know how dice do us.
You see in this room two things. The first thing I think Winnie is looking for is this queen.
Absolutely.
Because you are listening to the sounds of the worker bees. It is this very high-pitched, even without translation necessarily, you're hearing like,
for the queen, for the queen, for the queen, for the queen, work, 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 honey, 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 honey.
And then you hear, really got a beat to it somehow.
Oh, while I'm listening to that, can I grab Adeline's hand and start tapping out that beat so she can catch that rhythm? Because I can hear it, but she can't, but that way she's aware of what the whatever the rhythm is that I'm catching.
So was it again? Beat, beat. What was it? Was it?
Honey, 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 honey,
honey, honey, honey, honey, honey, honey, honey, honey, honey,
honey, honey, honey, worker, 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 honey, 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 queen bee,
honey, 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 honey,
honey, triple it, triple it, triple it.
So I will make sure Adelaide has that beat with exacting clarity, all three of them that I can hear.
Adelaide, you...
That rhythm.
Getting this rhythm in you, you all of a sudden snaps into focus for you as well. A rhythm, a polyrhythm within that, that doesn't fit within that normal rhythm.
Ooh.
A slow, like, quarter note rhythm of...
Work. 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 Work.
Ugh, math rock.
The second season where we've had math rock, Brian.
We literally just did a game of Yuzeva's Bed and Breakfast where math rock played a huge part. It was like fundamental to the story.
Fucking Coheed and Cambria. All right.
Winnie and Adelaide, both of you, off at the far end of this chamber, you see a massive bee that is immediately apparent to you is the queen, settled down in a single spot, is being waited on wing and wing, hand and foot.
Yep, there we go.
By wing a number wing. Of worker bees, and the entire time giving out slow and steady cadence of directions as the bees are swarming around you. Winnie, the second thing that you see, the honey in this room is coating the walls and dripping down. And as it is dripping down, you recognize that it is pooling on the ground, but in a way that it is not deep enough to have made, like, you kind of do the math and like, this has been happening for a while. Why isn't there more honey on the ground? You see near the center of the room, relatively close to where the queen bee is nestled and sitting, directing the worker bees, a fairly large crack in the ground where a bunch of the honey is flowing into.
Oh, interesting. So I just want to make sure I have clarity on this one, Brian. These catacombs, these, what is it? The inside of a honeycomb. Honeycomb, thank you.
Yeah, honeycomb.
It's not overproducing. It's producing enough honey where I should see a lot more now, but it looks like it's being funneled or dripped or channeled through this crack on the floor where she is.
It looks like what you're seeing is there is a runoff of honey.
There's a runoff honey. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to call out to Her Grace using my innate ability. Your Grace, may we approach?
I want to make you roll a check, but I don't think I will. We're just
going to
do this.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Have Amira roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't got to roll anything.
you hear that cadence all of a sudden stop, that quarter note cadence of
work, work, work.
And instead, that cadence quickly changes to
seize them. Seize them.
How dare.
I'm going to actually need everyone in this case to roll initiative
as a swarm
of bees comes around you.
Not the bees! Not the bees!
Brian, would you say these drugs are uppers?
Valid things to ask.
Is the little bottles we got that are wild magic, or some of the wild magic effects that you're no longer weary?
So wait, are you trying to get out of rolling with disadvantage because you are high on this magical supply?
Yes.
On this magical supply.
For an hour.
You know what?
That's what caffeine is.
I respect the hell out of the ask. So, yes, I'll let you roll one more time.
Good ask.
Roll your wits check again. Just roll straight.
I passed. I rolled a 7. My wits is a 7.
Let's go, baby.
Hell yeah. You are all acting before the swarm and probably even more importantly, the queen.
Yes.
You guys all act on the same initiative. Does anyone want to go first?
I don't know what the equivalent of is of a psychology or an empathy or a sense motive. I understand the command that's going through the ecosystem. Can I get the intent from the queen?
Yes. I think the intent here is very much neutralize. There is a world where you could lessen that command, but right now this is a Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Hurt.
Mortal Kombat!
You already asked me to test my mic.
Oh my god, that's such a good bit. Yes, I think, Winnie, if you want to use your turn to try to like dampen the situation, you totally can. At this moment, this is a fight for your lives.
Yeah, no, that's the clarity I wanted. I didn't know whether it was like seize them and bring them to me or like execute on sight. That's the clarity that I needed. We're in a combat.
I will say, just to Winnie, it is noteworthy that the order was not kill and it was seize. So I think you think there is wiggle room if you want to make it. But right now, if nothing changes, this is bad.
This is bad. Okay. Heard.
All of you see in this one, just to give you a full view of the room, this is a massive cavern, probably like, imagine in the adjusted scale, in feet, probably like 40 or 50 feet in front of you is the queen bee. There are bees swarming around you. Behind you is the exit. There are no other exits in this space except for the large crack in the ground, which is big enough for any of you to easily get through. It's probably like 2 widths of a person.
Okay.
But it's like, it's honey. That's honey, right? There's honey going through that little crack.
Honey is like falling into it. But it's not like completely covered by honey, if that makes sense.
Like a water falling into it. Okay.
Yeah, think waterfall, not drain.
Okay.
Winnie, I'm going to say, since you were asking that check, let's have you act first.
Oh, there's so many options here. Like, my very first thought was protect the babies, but I was like, wait, the babies aren't in danger. They're completely fine.
they're safe.
The babies are safe as hell right now.
We are not. So I think if I'm looking at the situation as tactically as I can, escape needs to be the very first thing on my mind.
Sure.
And I'm just going to move towards that drop in the floor, and then I am going to attempt to barter with the queen. But really, I'm just going to let my sisters handle and Matt handle this particular situation. So I'm going to move towards that area so I can at least drop through and escape if I need to, or bring my sisters with me. But I'm going to move to that area, and then I'm going to try to talk the queen down.
Yeah, what do you say to the queen?
So both palms are going to go up. I'm actually going to drop to one knee. We're not a threat. We're not here to hurt you. We're not here to disrupt what's happening. But we know that you've been locked in down here. And we know that there's a threat down here with you. Please let us help you.
For this one, I am going to have you roll a wits check.
I've been rolling so well, guys.
Winnie, just so you know, I think for a lot of these types of checks, I wouldn't make you roll. This would be like, what you say will try to convince me. In this case, you see the queen's eyes and the eyes of all the worker bees are clearly infected with this curse because of this like cursed pollen and honey. You've got to break through that, and that's going to require the check.
I love it. I appreciate the clarity on that one, too, but always, always make me feel free to roll. Holy shit! It's a 2. It's a 2 under a 9.
Yo, come on.
This rat battle is going to be real bad, guys.
It's going to be brilliant.
You see the queen suddenly goes,
ho, ho, ho.
And as she is speaking, between the beats of hold, 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 she begins to speak to you as well. For all of you, Adelaide, I think you're the only one that can really hear this beat, like you can discern it. You are hearing a steady beat, and then almost like circular breathing for like a jazz trumpet player. You are hearing a continuous flow of conversation in time with this beat. So there are essentially two conversations happening, coming from one entity.
Down. Good descriptive work.
Singers that can do the note with the nasals.
The nose and the, yeah, it's crazy. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. She looks at you and goes,
you are a threat to my children. You are a threat to my workers. You are a threat to me. We must produce more honey.
Hands are up. I'm going to stay on one knee. I'm going to make sure Adelaine is in time with whatever is still happening with rhythm. Just to make sure as I'm tapping my fingers, I'm keeping her. But I'm going to open this up to the table because I can speak to animals, but I'm not the diplomatic one here. So open conversation. I will translate whatever happens. So it's just free for all unless I say differently.
Since you've already got that, and we want to be able to reach the queen, I think if I start to like join this cacophony of like all of the different like sounds of, you know, because she's changed it. So if I am able to kind of also take over and infiltrate some of that with like a like, you know, like chill, 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 beagle, 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 chill, 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 beagle, 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 be cool, be cool,
cool,
chill, chill. Chill, chill, be cool, be cool. I sound like a car alarm. That's what I'm realizing.
You really nailed the car alarm. You start adding this additional cacophony, and the bees react to it. And even the queen bee kind of like, you've never seen a queen bee kind of like raise her eyebrows before. You've never seen a bee raise its eyebrows. It's kind of like, whoa.
Well, here we are.
You're hearing someone be like pretty fluent in a language very quickly. It's just like, oh, wow.
That's
nice.
Like, okay, that's not bad.
The cadence that you hear from the queen bee is rather than to you, but to the workers.
Check on the children, check on the children, check on the children.
And a bunch of bees swarm around you, all of you kind of like, essentially having you at sword point with their stingers, and a large portion of them go over to the larva that you did not touch and quickly report back.
Children safe, children safe, children safe, children safe.
And buzzing all around.
Do these bees abide by like bee law? Like the
bee law? Yes, Brian. How familiar are you with bee law?
Yeah,
I didn't pass the BSAT, but I did take it a couple of times.
I understand bees a little bit, so let me just educate you for a second. Mm-hmm. You know how you use smoke when you're working with bees to like make them chill and
sure,
calm down.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
classic beekeeper stuff.
Classic beekeeper stuff. Yeah, like, is that law kind of apply here, would you say, maybe, perhaps?
I think you would have to consider kind of the transitive property of equality as well, that the amount of smoke mm-hmm. needed for a normal-sized bee would have to be significantly increased for a bee at this size. Mm.
So we'd have to hotbox if we wanted to smoke them out.
You would have to hotbox the fuck out of this, and what is a very large chamber. This is, like, 20-foot high ceilings at this scale, and, like, 60 feet long, probably like 30 feet wide.
Okay. So Amira takes out her Amiratop cocktails and is like, well?
Amira, don't.
Amira.
Please don't. Please don't. Don't.
You guys never let me do this in Spagoosh.
We're in their house.
Later.
We honor your house. We respect your kin. We honor your house. We respect your kin.
We'll
we honor
you
your
right
house.
When.
We respect your kin. As I'm glaring at Amira.
We love babies. Clap, clap. We love babies. Clap, clap.
The bees begin to swarm around, and as they do, the queen's gaze quickly shifts as she's like trying to keep this pulse and like contain all of the bees around her. Her gaze shifts over to another side, and you see what was a whole other section of the cave had been like destroyed by the Rat King. It's like a whole section of honeycomb had been destroyed. The queen looks to you, Winnie, and goes,
protection, protection, protection for my kin. Protection, protection, protection for my kin.
And the bees begin to swarm around the crack in the ground. And she looks to you and goes,
offering, offering, offering. Only an offering will suffice. Only an offering will suffice. Only an offering will suffice.
And you see this river of honey that is getting tossed down this chasm is put into new perspective for you.
Oh, she's paying.
But you don't need the rat. We'll protect you. You don't need like the Rat King. Like, we got you.
Yeah, what if we
mollify.
You want a mirror top cocktail?
Oh, leave them one for the Rat King so they can...
We could, that could be an offering. Or we want to get rid of the Rat King altogether, not just mollify, not have an offering, get rid of Rat King.
As Winnie translates, the bee kind of, the queen bee looks at you and goes,
Can offer, safe passage, can offer, safe passage, protect, my kin.
Adelaide's just dancing to the beat.
Adelaide's just dancing in the background.
Adelaide's dancing to the beat.
Your viewers deserve to see Danielle dancing.
Yeah, we're all kind of like bopping at this point where like you just can't help but move your hips.
We're on bebop.
Matt is off beat.
Matt is a little off beat with the cookbook.
Hey, the glow worm is glow dancing.
Glowworm is doing the worm.
Yes. Show up.
Hey.
Glowworm is actually doing the robot.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. With the bat.
Very impressive. Bing. Winnie, what is coming into stark relief for you is the cadence at which the queen is speaking. You recognize that she is more in control of her faculties than the worker bees are. They are very much drones in the classic bee sense, but also the cursed honey sense.
Yeah.
She is controlling the entirety of this hive by sheer force of will.
Okay.
The reason that she's keeping in this cadence because she absolutely has to, like, she is holding a knife to your throat, trying to hold it back.
Got it.
Does she need help? I can keep helping with her. I can help her. I can take over this part so that she...
Oh, that's dope.
Sure. You canonically have the beat of this thing. You start to take over for the, like, command elements of the bee.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen all of a sudden recognizes this. And you see her miss a step and allow you to continue on. And sees that the bees are mollified for this moment and continue in this pattern. It is difficult to describe what it looks like for a bee to sigh.
Yeah.
Her entire body language goes limp. And everything was just so tense before. You see her slink back into what is kind of a throne for this queen bee. And just goes...
Oh, fuck. That was... Oh, thank you.
I can't believe you've been holding this all together by yourself for this long.
I can't do it for much longer. They ate... some bad pollen, and we've made some bad honey, and the rat ate all the rats ate the honey, and then the Rat King. And
you see a queen that is exhausted, on the border of collapse. She looks at you and goes,
"If you can protect my family, then I can at least rest." And not worry about destruction while I sleep. Please.
And I'm going to look over at my sisters because this is either all of us or none of us.
Adelaide is doing that thing where you, like, teach a bunch of kids how to do a chorus in the round. Like, all right, now you go. Okay, now you go. Like, with all of the bees, as she's, like, making all of the doing that kind of polyphonic beat that was happening before.
Adelaide, you are actually, like, slightly lightening your workload by having other bees take on the rhythm themselves. And, like, almost like... You're teaching people to it's teach a man to fish kind of thing.
Yeah, okay, now percussion, you go. Alto, bring in. I'm like conducting these bees.
So I look at Geraldine and Amira. We have to help them, please.
This queen looks super weary. Does she want, and takes out the liquid glow. Does she want a little bit to help?
Just a little bit.
Just a taste.
I'm gonna warn the queen what it is, but that's her choice. If she wants to go ahead and do a line of joy,
We're going to help you either way, but you can have a little potential pick-me-up.
There's a...
Flip a coin, Brian.
There's like a 1 in 6 chance this is great, and like a 3 in 6 chance it's okay, and like a 2 in 6 chance it's bad.
Hmm.
So your call.
I don't know if it's safe for bees. We haven't tested it.
That's fair.
Amir is still offering.
You look at the queen bee and you pass over this vial of things, and the queen bee looks at it. One of the drones comes over, uncorks it, puts it in like a fluted glass, and hands it to the queen bee. And the queen bee goes,
wait.
Yes?
We found this in the other room.
Oh, it's in the kind of the concoction of all of the destroyed potions that was all on the floor.
Yeah. I just kind of inhaled some of it.
Honestly, it's kind of all uphill from here. This is I'm kind of at the bottom, so I'm gonna roll the dice on this one, okay?
I hate that for us.
Bottoms up.
No.
And she shoots it back.
Amira, what have you done?
Can you roll
Amira,
a d6 for
yep.
me?
Amira, you better roll good.
What's the good numbers? What's the bad numbers?
The best number is 6.
Okay, and the worst numbers are 1 and 2?
All other numbers?
1 is the worst.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just only rolling 3s today.
The queen bee immediately looks at you and goes,
I don't know if I've told you this, but I've had sex with all of these guys.
What?
Embarrassing truth, honey. Live them.
There's so many.
Good
no wonder
for
she's
you,
tired.
Girl.
It's kind of my job.
You get yours.
It's hard work, but someone's got to do it.
Listen, I haven't told you this. You see that horse?
Yeah.
I banged that horse.
You gotta put this in the... Adelaide is conducting these bees like this, like old performances of Stomp. And he's like, you gotta be more specific.
I mean, he was a human before he was a horse. I banged the human form of the horse. Yeah, pre-horse. I didn't...
Classic prince transformation.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah,
I am tired. And I don't particularly like that we moved here. All of these bees said this would be a better location, but there's not a lot of natural light.
Nah. Well, if we get rid of that Rat King, maybe you could sort of find some other spots?
Yeah, we'll probably venture out a little bit. This is getting a little tiresome. It's big, though, but, okay, I feel good. I'm gonna, I'll take back over. If you can kill this Rat King, or dispatch of this Rat King in any way, I'd love to be able to get out of here with the rest of my family. This place was a great idea when we started, when we could come and go, and now it is a bummer.
I feel you, girl.
It's a bummer.
Honesty is the best policy.
They used to all bring me flowers, and then the flowers were cursed, and then we were sealed inside, and now I don't even get flowers.
That's tough.
They stop bringing you flowers. That's a bad sign.
That's kind of the end of it, right?
Yeah.
You
know?
But you've rested. You feel better. We're going to kill the Rat King, and I promise you someone will bring you flowers. We're also going to lift the curse. I know it's a really long list of all the things that we're going to do, but we're actually going to
do your workers can show us the way, I think that maybe we'll go try to do that.
Winnie, the queen looks to you and goes,
anything you can do to help us will be so appreciated. I'm just so tired of being down here, and I can't hold everyone back much longer. Their minds are almost completely gone, and it's just the fact that this is repetition that's keeping them from going crazy. But if you can dispatch the Rat King, and if you can destroy the doors that are keeping us down here, we're happy. More, I would love to move. I would love some more natural light. I would like a place with a view. I was told that this was expansive, and this would just kind of be a summer home. And that has not been the case.
We will destroy the Rat King. The doors will be open. You'll be able to rest, and you'll get a better view.
From your lips to God's ears, let's just make this happen.
She looks over to Adelaide and starts directing you like a conductor. And begins to take back over the cadence of
work, 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 work.
As that fades back into this cacophony, all of you see this large chasm in the center with this honey that is running down it, seemingly to mollify or appease the Rat King below. Do you enter?
Hell yeah.
Think we have
Let's
to.
Go.
I have another thing I only learned today. I have a grappling hook with a rope.
Hell yeah, you do.
Hell yeah.
If we want to fix that and sort of slink our way down.
Are we walking sideways? Are we walking sideways?
We can.
You are walking full Adam West Batman.
Yes!
That also, I'll say, Abby, do me a favor.
Yes.
Roll a grace check. Because you have a rope, everyone can do this for free. If you succeed in your grace check, Matt can also do this.
No.
It's true.
Do it for Matt.
Yes.
Do it for the Matt.
Ooh, sorry, Matt. You've got to stay behind in the room full of bees.
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 19, which is way over my 9 grace.
And a heart die isn't going to close the gap.
So, Amira, if you want Matt to go down, Matt can certainly make the jump. It's just going to be a grace check to do it. Like, can't be aided by the rope.
It's a my grace check or Matt's grace check?
I'll say your grace check.
Does Matt have a grace check?
I think it's Amira's grace.
Does Matt have a grace
you
check?
You and Matt are so connected, you share stats.
I'll do a grace check.
Great. Go ahead and make a grace check.
Oh, God, Matt.
As all of you begin to go down, Amira, you get on the back of Matt and gallop into the hole.
I rolled a 5, and my grace is a 10.
Oh, thank goodness.
Woo!
All right, okay.
Let's go. So Matt's coming with.
Winnie, Adelaide, and Jodine, as you guys are Adam West Batmaning down this rope, all of a sudden on sides of this chasm, you see Matt going back and forth, galloping down this chasm. It is a steepness like when the Riders of Rohan enter in the steepest fucking thing.
The steepest hill. It does not logically make sense that a herd of horses would be running down it and be
not at all.
I imagine it looks like those goats that can like go up those cliff sides.
Yes. Matt is full mountain goating.
Matt is full mountain goating.
Matt
and as he lands all 4 hooves on the ground, flicks the hair, and the hair goes back into that perfect coif.
How did I not see it?
He loves hiking.
Oh, God.
I remember.
Ooh. Adelaide just, like, looks away at something really interesting on her hands. Like, oh, give my nails.
As you guys land in these tunnels, for a moment, the torchlight flickers as you land, and there's a heavy, cold, dank air that almost blasts you in the face. You see in front of you a menagerie, a maze of different tunnels going off. But Winnie, as you listen, you can hear very clearly down here the sound of chittering and breathing of a number of rats. And I think it's even easier for you to simply follow the stream of honey. Ugh. As you move through these tunnels, you can see the claw marks of things that it is very clear these tunnels were not made by the pixies. These tunnels are entirely made by the Rat King. You are fully in the Rat King's domain now.
Ooh.
Yeah, these horses are gross.
They're so gross, Amira, you don't even know yet.
Hey, Brian, just if I'm walking along the tunnel walls and I run my finger through one of the grooves with this claw marks, how big do I think this Rat King actually is?
Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. They can make your perfect mini in a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options. They can even put your custom miniature inside a 20-sided die, so your character lives in every attack roll and every saving throw. And if you like to 3D print your own minis, Hero Forge offers downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options. New parts are added every single week, and major features like new species and custom posing are updated on a regular basis. So visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today. Let me tell you about a new campaign for one of my all-time favorite role-playing games. Die Meta Dungeon is a new campaign-length dungeon-based adventure for Die RPG that is a crawl through 60 years of TTRPG history. In Die, your character gets sucked into the world of their own role-playing game like something out of a goth Jumanji and will fight against echoes of their real-life traumas and emotions. And in the Die Meta Dungeon, the encounters grow deeper and more dangerous as more people succumb to the honeyed allure of role-playing games. Dungeon crawl your way through every era of gaming as you explore decades of gaming history twisted and morphed into something that wants to kill you. And remember, if you die in the game, you die in the real world too. Go back Die Meta Dungeon on BackerKit by going to BackerKit.com and searching for Die Meta Dungeon. Once again, go to BackerKit.com and search Die Meta Dungeon. April is Orbital Blues Month on BackerKit. Orbital Blues is one of my all-time favorite TTRPGs. It's a game about sad space cowboys surviving in a music-infused space western universe filled with retro-futuristic tech and plagued by heartbreak and the haunting shadow of the blues. Orbital Blues Month is a multi-project crowdfunding event that features new material, new adventures, and even new music that is all going to be landing on my gaming shelf. From a new book of NPCs and setting inspiration to an interwoven series of adventures set on an interstellar train line to even a high-octane space racing adventure. Plus, there is a new original soundtrack by our favorite interstellar composer, Behold, including the track that you are hearing right now. So check out all of the excellent projects that are part of Orbital Blues Month over on BackerKit. Now, through the end of April.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume, sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
Down here, I think you have a very clear idea of, like, this is current. This is recent. You run your hands in the grooves and your finger disappears fully into the groove of what a claw mark is.
Oh.
You get a sense that a rat is likely close to the size of you. What you understand the Rat King to be, a number of rats tied together, conjoined by the tail, you see this more the size of a hydra than you do of a single individual.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I think as my finger disappears in, I'm going to look at Amira, Adelaide, and Geraldine. And I'm going to look up at the ceiling at just, like, the capacity of what this thing has created or wedged itself through.
You hear the of something gorging itself on honey as you enter a massive chamber carved out roughly, hewn all around by the Rat King, and you finally lay eyes for a moment on the visage of this monstrosity. you see, much like a hydra indeed, seven feral, crazed, and cursed rats gorging themselves on this honey. And somewhere in the mess of this thing, as the rats are jumping over top of each other trying to get to this honey, you see all of them combined in a single point. A tail that has been calcified and entombed by honey, and it's almost become, like, the ends of it have been so cut off from any kind of circulation, it is now necrotic.
Necrotic. Yeah. That's delicious. Ugh.
Do we have a sense that they would like to get the hell out of here, but they can't because all of them are in this Rat King tied to each other?
Adelaide, even you can see this. These things have consumed so much of this cursed honey. They are fully feral. I think, Winnie, you're hearing this. You are not hearing language. You are hearing sounds. I think, Winnie, you're immediately realizing, like, talking with this thing will be very difficult in its current state just because it has consumed so much of this.
So I kind of love the idea that I'm getting ready to do what I always do when I encounter an animal. I'm getting the language ready. I'm going through the Rolodex of oinks, no, hisses, no. Then I get to the squeak. And I go to make the first one, and then just this quiet falls over me from the top of my head all the way down to my sole of my feet. And I look at my sisters, and I just say, this one's too far gone.
So I guess the kindest thing that we could do
is euthanize.
And Adelaide, like, takes out her slingshot and that knife.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess this is the kindest thing that we can do, and, like, aims it at one of their throats.
Amira, I think now's the time.
Yeah, Amira takes out an Amiratov cocktail, then Matt has, like, the match ready to go.
As you put the match into Matt's mouth, he reaches over, strikes the match on the side of the cave, and as that strike sound happens, all seven of the rats' heads look up towards the entrance and snarl in your direction. I'm gonna need everyone here to roll initiative.
We could have sneak attack.
Here we go.
Starting with Geraldine.
Success.
Adelaide.
Success.
Winnie.
Success.
Oh, damn. Amira.
Success because of the drugs.
Success because of the drugs.
That's the way drugs work.
I will just remind you, that's going to wear off after an hour, and you'll still be weird for the rest of the day, just to keep you honest.
Yeah, to keep me honest.
Keep you honest. Yes.
Got at least another 15 minutes left.
Amira, Matt strikes that match. You see all of the Rat King's seven heads look towards you, and then this entire monstrosity begins to lumber and move in your guys' direction. You are currently all in the entranceway. There is a large cavern around that you're able to spread out, but right now you are in one central area.
Uh-oh.
Amira, it is your turn. What do you do?
Yeah, immediately as the Rat King looks up, Amira goes, ha! And then throws the cocktail right at the thing.
Yikes!
Right, yo!
Bad horse!
Bad horse.
Okay, she gets it.
Hashtag it.
You chuck this Miritov cocktail. What I'm going to do for this, because you have it on fire, I'm going to treat this as lamp oil, does D6 damage if it hits.
Ah.
In addition, it will have that it will have that D6 magical effect as well.
Dope. Okay.
So go ahead and roll an attack. Since this is a ranged attack, you're going to be testing Grace.
Thank God.
Let's go.
No!
No!
Amira, what'd you do?
I rolled a nat 20.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
The dice will tell some stories, honey.
Amira just drops the cocktail.
I scream. I, like, throw, but, like, there's nothing in my hand. The cocktail drops right behind me. And you hear my actual scream from the bottle.
Oh, no.
The entrance is on fire behind us. We can't leave.
Yeah, that's true now.
That's what a 20 would do.
Yep,
that's
my best. Good now. There is no retreat. No,
what a 20 gets you.
When a 20 gets you.
Oh, no.
Behind you, you now feel the fire of Amira's rage blocking your way from an exit. You guys are now trapped in here. There is no egress for the rest of this fight. You are in it for the long haul.
Okay. The fire like screams a bit. Like, it's not like crackling. It's like a shriek.
As the flames flicker, you hear various bits of Amira's rage. You can hear screams and shouts and like small curses and things. And not only is this a physical fire, like there is heat, there is a magical element to this that is buffeting you back and preventing you from crossing it.
Damn.
This is the clearest way you could say you do not want to cross Amira.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Could it be perceived as a threat?
I do think that the Rat King...
Intimidation.
The Rat King does react to it and, like, moves back just a touch, but is still moving towards you guys. Amira, is there any movement or anything you want to do with your turn?
I'm just going to stand... Like, I was in front of the group, or, like... No, I was in the back of the group, so I'm just going to, like, kind of hide behind Matt a little bit. Just, like, get out. Sorry, I'm just not going to... I'm going to be in the back. If you need me to heal you, I'll be back here.
So you're staying kind of, like, in the tunnel that is the entrance to this chamber?
Away from the flames. But yes.
Yeah, but like essentially your back is to the flames.
Yeah.
Okay. Adelaide, Winnie, or Geraldine? Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Adelaide is going to put her hands up like there's a flute there, and I'm going to make the sounds of a flute and Pied Piper them.
Nice.
See if I can like Pied Piper the Rat King towards now like this fire, this like dangerous fire. So I'm like, everybody move out of the way.
Oh, man.
And so I'm doing the like doing some like Lizzo twerking, like trying to get them to like get my attention, and like I go and kind of circle around them at safe distance, trying to see if I can make eye contact with each head so that they're all kind of all paying attention to me before I start seeing if I can Pied Piper and lure them over to like this fire.
Ooh.
Sure. Mechanically, what ability are you using here?
Mechanically, this would still be my mimic because I can mimic voices and sounds with uncanny accuracy.
Okay.
And I don't know if luring would work because I think that has to specifically be through Song of Verse when that would be like gaining advantage on this. But yeah, so I'm specifically using my mimic ability to sound and infusing it with like my natural like charm or whatever to like act as a Pied Piper and see if I can get them to like do what I want them to do and like follow me through my magical music.
I'll let you do it. I'm going to say you've got to test wits. I would say though for this, because this thing is so like honey engorged and cursed, I'm going to say roll with disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Okay.
That's fair.
Okay. Well, with disadvantage, that is a 20.
No!
Did I not tell y'all?
What did I tell y'all? I told y'all them rolls at the beginning of the game were too good.
Why?
None of mine have been good. I had one good roll. Everything else has been fucking garbage.
That might be my fault because I had a series of brilliant rolls. This might be on me. Yeah. No, I'll hit a 22. Don't worry.
Adelaide, as this happens, you start to Pied Piper this thing towards you. The fire of Amira's rage behind you kind of makes you move all of a sudden. You hit a wrong note. For maybe like one of the first times in recent memory, something goes wrong. And all of a sudden, all of the rats rear up and then slam down. Adelaide, can you roll me 1d6, please? We're going to roll on the potential wrinkles table.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So just don't get a one.
Oh, no, I'm saying a wrinkle has happened because of that
nat
20. Oh, okay.
And that is a 4.
Which is like a good one.
Adelaide, as you are still near the back of this fire, you see that this fire has begun to burn a bit of the honey. And you see that the honey trail is being cut off from this rat. The Rat King is beginning to notice this. But more important than that, the honey itself is beginning to burn from this magical fire.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Adelaide, you feel woozy. Which means for the next 24 hours, you will be testing grace with disadvantage.
Oh, no.
Man. You okay?
You got any more of that getting high potion?
Oh, yeah.
Getting high
Here,
potion.
I do. I'll give you some on my next turn.
Yes. Give me some of that getting high potion.
Getting high potion.
Adelaide, any movement you want to make with your turn?
Well, I'm woozy, so I think moving actually sounds like a terrible idea. So Adelaide's literally just going to, like, go and fucking park herself and sit down somewhere. Like, just give me a second. I'll be right there. You guys, it's fine. We're good.
Shit.
Adelaide plants herself down.
We're doing great.
We're doing so good.
Jody and Winnie.
Geraldine wants to, she's like, oh, shit, it's not going good. She's going straight for the tail. I want to do some, like, acrobatics of, like, parkour, weird jumping around to try to do it really fast to distract all of the heads so that it's like hard to keep track of, like maybe there's seven Geraldines. Hard to keep track of her. And I want to go over and use my cooking knife to try to start cutting away at the tail.
I will say with seven rats there, you cannot get to the tail yet. Like you have to essentially clear some of these rats to get to the tail.
Oh, that's like true. A fucking Hydra. This is a Hydra.
It is a Hydra. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. In that case, she's still going to do the same thing, but it's trying to like land on top of one of the rats so that like I'm not near its mouth.
Sure.
To try to use my cooking knife to attack that rat.
You jump forward towards this rat. It is only as you get close to it, you realize the fur of this rat has started to take on various hues.
I hate it.
And you see they are purple and orange and lemon yellow and lime green, strawberry red. You immediately jump on the grape rat.
Oh my God, they have different flavors. I love this.
They're like a bomb pop?
I was going for Skittles.
Skittles, because they skitter, because they're red.
Skittle rat.
Rat Skittles.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Yeah, that's why you did it. That's why you did it. That's why I said it.
Geraldine, as you make your way onto the grape rat, go ahead and make an attack.
Okay, so this is just rolling the damage for my weapon, or do I have to roll grace first?
You will test resolve, because you're using, it's a physical attack, so you test resolve. Ranged attacks, you test grace.
Amazing. Okay, so we're testing resolve. And I succeed. I rolled an 11 over my 13.
Let's fucking go.
Hell yeah. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay, so for damage, it is a D4, and critical hits are both a 1 and a 2.
Critical hit, so that critical hit is based on your D20 roll.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, I rolled
the
1.
On the actual attack.
Hey!
You damage one of these rats as you slash into it for 1 point of damage. Anything else you want to do with your turn?
If you'll let me, because I've already used a bunch of movement, but I was going to say, if you'll let me, she's going to try to jump off and run, like, as much as there is a behind of this Rat King.
This is a pretty 360-degree foe, but go ahead and test grace for me.
Okay.
This is to land on your feet, and I'll say you can roll with advantage because of your cat-like ability.
Thank you.
Nice.
Grace, I fail.
You jump off of this rat and land tripping on one of the paws of this rat as it's moving. You land prone directly in front of this rat. You are going to be easy prey when it attacks.
Oh, no.
I didn't stick the landing, guys.
We saw.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Winnie, it is your move.
I was going to go stand in front of Adelaide and protect her while she grounded herself, but now Geraldine is down. So, question of the day. I'm going to pull out my crossbow. Is there any way in one round that I could ignite the arrowhead of this crossbow and fire it at the rat?
Yeah, I'll let you do that.
Being that this magic liquid has fire, can I dip the arrowhead in whatever the thing
that is? Feels good to me. Yeah, I'll say that for sure.
You could dip it in a bottle of rage and then light it on fire.
Totally. Oh, the screaming arrow? Literal screaming arrow?
Yeah, a screaming arrow.
I will also say Geraldine has one of her abilities gives her advantage when rolling against, to dodge attacks. So you don't have to worry too much
about
her.
I'm not as worried about Geraldine right now being prone.
Yeah.
Can I help with something before Winnie does this? I can do a happy working song. Anyone who hears this, it'll count for everybody, can modify a virtue test roll. It's one of my gifts. I'd have to roll my gift die.
Ooh.
Yeah. You sing a happy working song, and anyone who hears it can modify a virtue test roll up to some. So yeah, go and roll your gift die.
And that's a 6?
That is a D6, yes.
And what do I need to get?
Whatever you get, people will be able to modify their next virtue test
by
that
amount. So I got a 4.
Nice.
Okay. Woo. All right.
99 bottles of rage in your bag. 99 bottles of rage. I take one down to blow up a rat. 98 bottles of rage in your hand.
So, Adelaide, just to remind you, you now have that gift dice expended. You will not be able to use it again until your next long rest. But you've given everyone a 4 modifier to their next virtue test roll.
Yes, thank you.
Just huge.
Go fucking get them.
So I actually desperately needed that. So I rolled a 12. My grace is a 9 on a crossbow bolt.
So with the modification of the four, that literally takes me beneath it. So I needed that song.
Oh my God.
Huge.
So yeah, I'm going to dip the arrowhead in fire and then I'm going to stand. I'm going to straddle over Adelaide's leg where the rat has to come through me before it can touch her while she's singing on the floor behind me. And then I'm going to fire at it.
Absolutely. Are you firing
take
at...
Take one down, pass it around. 96 bottles of bridge, you're back.
Winnie, are you firing at the grape rat that has been damaged by Geraldine or one of the other rats?
No, absolutely. So tactically speaking, anything that's taking damage, let's stick on that one until it was down. How much are you going to give me for the fire damage?
That is a good question. Let's give you, I called it lamp oil. Lamp oil is a D6. Because it's only a little bit on your arrowhead, I'm going to say let's make it a D4. So you can add a D4 to your damage.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, baby, we're looking at 11 points of damage total.
Damn!
Huge.
Yeah, the crossbows are a D10 damage, which are crazy, and then the lamp oil was another two.
Wow, you that's amazing.
Fire into this grape rat and immediately see the grape rat go limp.
Oh.
I'm going to say with an 11, that's just huge. You fire through that rat, the bolt goes immediately through to another rat, and a second rat goes down.
Oh, nice. Thank goodness. 99 bottles of rage on the wall, honey. It's the best combat song ever.
Now it's 97.
We got you take it one down, pass it around.
And just so you guys are aware, like 11 points of damage, able to drop two, or I guess a total of 12 points of damage, able to drop two rats. That gives you a sense of what each of these rats
is. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Winnie, you position yourself in front of Adelaide to help her in Adelaide's addled state. It is now the Rat King's turn.
I'm stressed, guys.
The Rat King is composed of 7 rats, now 5. I'm going to roll a D6. That is the number of rats that can attack.
Oh, no.
Or, Amira, would you like to roll?
I was about to say, yes.
Yeah, no! Yes. Damn, fuck.
Would you? I can roll it, but if
no,
maybe...
No. I'll do it.
I believe in you.
Come on, give me a one. Fuck! That's a 4.
That's okay.
Could have been
worse.
Tell
good stories, baby.
Could have been
by
so much
one,
worse.
But you know, still.
But still.
I think with that, Rat King is going to take an attack on each of you. Can all of you please test grace for me? Or actually, you know what? Winnie, you've positioned yourself in front of Adelaide.
I was about to say, can I take Adelaide's hit, please?
Winnie, go ahead and test grace twice. Amira
Thank
and
you.
Geraldine, test grace once.
Because one of my innate abilities is evasive, it says you're skilled at dodging attacks.
Yes.
When unarmored, you treat your armor value as 1. Is this saying that, like, I get... It doesn't explicitly say I get advantage on dodging attacks.
You don't get advantage.
I'm, like, good at it.
Rather, you are essentially good enough at dodging. It acts like armor. So you essentially have armor value 1. So whatever damage you will take 1 less than that.
Okay. Well, you know what? Not so bad.
Geraldine, your grace test.
Pass. Succeed.
Hey.
Okay, Geraldine, you dodge out of the way of one of these rat swipes. Amira.
Fail.
Oh, no.
Ooh, Amira, you're taking 4 points of damage.
Ooh.
Ow, I was so far out. God damn.
Ooh.
These rats got reach.
Amira, do you have any armor as well?
Yeah, I have 1, so I took...
So you take 3 points of damage total.
3 points of damage, yeah.
And then Winnie, 2 grace tests.
I failed both.
No.
Failed both. Okay. We're going to be rolling 2 d4s for this.
Okay.
That is a 4.
I have armor 2.
Okay, so instead of taking 4 points of damage, you are taking 2 points of damage. That
still
armor is going to
really
soak
bad,
up
guys.
2 points of that.
Okay.
Okay.
How much health do you have left?
4.
Okay, can't take you down. That's another 2 points of damage. Your armor is 2-0 from that attack.
Oh my God.
That's my sister. That's my sister.
I think at this moment, you all realize exactly how fucking beefy and buff Winnie is. Armor of 2
Hell
is
yeah.
huge.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Top of the order. I'm going to keep us in the same order we did before. Amira, it is your turn. What do you do?
What's your max health, Winnie?
It was 6. I'm at 2 right now.
Damn. Okay. I'm deciding between either healing Winnie or attacking the rat with the battle axe.
Oh! Do the attack.
Okay, I'm going to take out a bottle of rage, and then I'm going to be like, this is what I do. I go, you hit me. And then I pull out rage, like pure rage from my head, my head,
and instead of putting it into a bottle, I like take out my axe and like I just rub it all over my axe.
Rage axe.
And I hold it to the screaming flames. It lights on fire, and then I go, Matt, we're getting that rat horse thing. And then I'm charging the rat.
I'll make you a deal if you want it. If you take 1 point of damage right now, I'll let you roll with advantage for that.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, take it.
Worth it. I love GM bargains.
You take a point of damage as you like run your hand over this blade, covering it in rage, and then dash forward to attack this rat. Go ahead and roll with advantage. Do a virtue test with advantage.
The first dice was a 20. And the second one was a nat 1.
Yeah!
Huge!
Nat 1 is a critical hit. I just want to double check. I want to double check critical hits. I believe.
Amazing.
Amazing. Really had a wide stance there, Amira.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You roll 2 damage dice and add them. What is a battle axe's damage die?
10.
I'll say for this, you can attack 2 rats if you want.
Damn.
And roll d10 for each.
And do I get added damage for the fire axe?
I'm going to say for this, no. It just granted you the advantage.
All right. That's fine.
I don't want to give you too much for that.
I don't want to set a precedent. That's 15 points of damage.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Holy hell, Amira.
Amira has remained relatively calm for the entirety of this adventure. Even when they have potentially been infected with this candy curse, Amira has stayed as best she could, bottling up her emotions. You've literally seen this. Now you see rage all around you. Behind you, there is a fire of Amira's rage reflecting her attack as this battle axe is coated in a bit of rage. You immediately clear 2 more rats.
Holy crap.
And Amira, for the first time, you have a glimpse of the tail at the center of this rat king.
Okay.
That's our girl.
Good horses don't hit princesses.
You hear Matt in the back. Amira, huge. Y'all are down to just 3 rats remaining.
Wild. What a hit.
Wow.
Amira, absolutely huge. Adelaide, it is you next.
I'm woozy, so I don't... And attacks of physical strength and not my bag. I wonder if Adelaide uses her mimicry ability again. The honey is being fired, and these rats know that their honey supply is missing. Mm-hmm. So I would like to make the sound, kind of dual sounds. One is the sound of like the bees upstairs, just the buzzing. They wouldn't be able to hear the beat or any of that.
Sure.
And the sound of like whooshing of like honey as it would be traveling down there, to see if I can distract them so that they're not so focused on us, and maybe they start running to go find where this new source of honey is.
I'll say go ahead and test wits for me. And I think since this is an imitation, I'll let you roll with advantage.
Ooh. Damn, first one was a 9, second was a 1. We're going crit, baby.
Yes! Wow.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And Winnie thought we were going to have a bad battle. No, it was just a dramatic one.
It was just a dramatic one. Yeah, there we go.
Started with 2 nat 20s.
It started with 2 nat 20s. It came out swinging.
With a nat 1, I will let you choose. You immediately start to have this sound bouncing around the room, and you recognize that you can like sculpt exactly how this reflection or reverberation is happening. You could either have it seem like it's coming from multiple directions, in which case the rats would run in different directions, giving whoever wants to attempt to cut the tail advantage.
Oh.
Or you could have them all run to one direction and potentially get hit by this rage fire. Do you want to go for the damage or for the opening for a finishing blow?
Ooh. Who hasn't used my effect yet to add that extra? Because that's still going.
Oh, that's still good. Geraldine and Amira haven't used it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Then I'm going to do it to give someone advantage, because I feel like with that advantage plus being able to use that extra four points, that could do a lot of good for that tail.
Yeah.
Huge. You begin to sing this song of the sound of bees and where this honey would be flowing from. And it bounces left, right, forward, back, all around. A sound designer's worst nightmare, but it's really fun to pan left and right.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
It makes it sound so immersive because it's coming from all around you.
Oh God, I'm so sorry, binaural. Oh no, I'm the worst.
Oh no. This sound coming from all around you, all of a sudden you pinpoint individual directions to individual rats, tying them, spinning your song more precisely than you maybe ever have in your entire life, bouncing it off the crags and cracks of this makeshift cavern. You see the rats all in almost perfect harmony go one north, one southeast, and one southwest.
Nice.
Stretching as far as they can, so the tail is perfectly exposed, and you see now this like calcified, like putrefied tail ready to be chopped off.
Ugh.
Yeah, it is a bummer of a tail.
It's like mummified in honey.
Mummified in honey.
Mummified in honey.
Huge. You see, this beast that was once a terror is now very much in a position for you to strike. Geraldine, I believe that is your turn. What do you want to do?
My sister's got it together. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to attack. We're going to go for the tail. I'm going to try to use my cooking knife.
The rules for this are an attempt to do so is made with disadvantage unless the remaining rats are distracted or otherwise. You have advantage on this attack.
Yes.
Go ahead and take that advantage attack.
Amazing. Okay. Whew. First one was a 15, which fails, but the second one was a 2!
Hey!
Geraldine, you, as spry as ever, leap forwards towards this taut, calcified tail. Tell me how you sever the Rat King's tail.
Oh.
And how you gain the first piece of the cure to the candy curse.
As a wise chef once taught me, a sharp knife is a safe knife. So I keep that baby sharp at all times. And like a friggin' samurai sword, it's just swing, clean cut straight through.
Nice!
All we hear in this room as it momentarily goes silent is the glint of a chef's knife.
Ding!
And then the tail flops to the floor as the rats fly in three different directions, now free of this bond, slamming themselves each into the wall with the force they were trying to get away with, and begins to scurry around the room. As this happens, the rats, now free, begin to look at each other and look around the room, like sniffing their own butts, like realizing that they are not, you know, connected to one another anymore.
Yeah.
And quickly, the rats look at each other, recognize what's happening, and the rest of the remaining rats flee from this room, leaping over top of the rage fire and beginning to eat this honey along the way, heading up towards an escape from this place.
Gross horses.
Gross horses.
Are they heading towards the bees?
I've been doing the mimicking of kind of that bee noise, and I think that's kind of what they were chasing. So now I'm like throwing my voice so that it leads them like away from the bees,
like
so that they're not going in where the
lavas
tunnel. Are like down further into
yeah
the
you see all of these rats all of a sudden slam into the corners of this room, now released from their bonds. They look at each other confused in this moment, their eyes still crazed from this gorging on honey, this candy curse. But realizing in this moment, you see a flash of clarity that they are free, no longer bound together to become this monstrosity. And each of them in turn very quickly begins to burrow their own tunnel, digging a small way out of this place. You see the trajectory is not down or over, but up and out.
Oh, I guess we'll just deal with them later.
If I catch you here again, I'll kill you.
Amira.
Is that still the secret thing? No, she wouldn't keep that a secret.
No, she would have told us that even without the spells.
Yeah, she doesn't need a potion for that.
Geraldine, you walk forward to the center of this room and pick up this calcified remain of this tail, and it feels almost in your hands like a staff of some kind, forked and moved at the edge, but solid as it is. As that happens, you feel a little something inside you just almost click into place. A thing that you recognize is a little piece of destiny moving that much closer to its terminus. And that is where we'll end this episode of My First Dungeon. Perils and Princesses.
Yes!
Okay, fine. I'm fulfilling my destiny.
Yes, Geraldine, yes!
Princess! Wow.
And I should also say, as you guys gain the first piece to break the candy curse, the tail of the Rat King, you all move to level 2.
Oh, level 2! Level 2! I finally get to pirouette!
We will be leveling up your characters over in our talkback, over on the dice pool, on our Patreon.
Nice!
Splash!
Ooh, splash!
We'll see you guys over in the dice pool. Come check us out to see these characters level up and hear about this episode. But until then, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye!
Bye!
Destiny.
Destiny.
Princess.
Destiny. So brave.
So brave.
So brave.
So brave.
So brave.
So brave. So brave. So brave. It's a whole nother episode and we still don't know about Amira.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production.